Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, who is also our congressman for the 2nd Congressional District for many years. He is on the program with us each week talking about turning New Mexico red. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. Over the weekend, we had this tremendous convention. Over 800 Republicans gathered from around the state to vote for our candidates and put them on the ballot. We've got a stunning array of candidates. We've got Native American females and males. We've got Hispanic male and female. Of course, we've got the Anglos representing us on our elected board. We have African Americans. We just are beginning to look like New Mexico, and I think this is going to be a bang-up election. Later in the program, we're going to play some clips from that speech, but just a lot happening right now, Derek. A tremendous program for our listeners today. We've got Jane Powdrell on with us. She covers just a very wide array of issues, talks about her background, her running as a black Republican in New Mexico, has been in the legislature for years. So an exciting show for you today. Now, another big note over the weekend is a longtime friend of mine in Congress, formerly head of the Freedom Caucus, in which I was a member, Mark Meadows, chosen as chief of staff for President Trump. That's good for New Mexico.
How?
Mark is a good friend. When agencies are doing things in New Mexico that they don't want their bosses to know about, I can get it straight into the big boss. And President Trump is very familiar. I want you to listen to a clip where just this last week, he is speaking in Washington to the National Association of Counties and singles out New Mexico and calls one of our local county commissioners to the stage. Listen as we play that clip.
With us today is Rebecca Long, the commissioner of Lee County, New Mexico. Oh, I love New Mexico. How am I doing in New Mexico? I hear we're going to win New Mexico. We're going to win New Mexico. Rebecca, please come forward and say a little bit about what's happening on the energy boom. And your state is right up at the forefront, and we're very proud of New Mexico. Now, if I don't win it, I won't say that. I'll take it. I'll come back and I'll say next year. I was only kidding about New Mexico. Please. Hi, how are you?
It's an honor to be here with you today.
Thank you very
and
much.
The remarks you were saying fit exactly in with what I'm going to say. So thank you from Lee County, New Mexico, where your energy agenda is helping us with quicker right-of-way permits on BLM land and drilling permits. We're getting those faster, so that's helping America be energy independent. So we appreciate that. Let me give you a little bit of history. In December 2016, right before you came on, we had 17 active drilling rigs producing 7 million barrels of oil. In December of 2019, we had 53 active drilling rigs with 18.2 million barrels of oil. So right now, Lee County, New Mexico is the second largest oil and gas producer in the United States.
Wow.
And soon we will be first. And thank you so much for all you do for us.
That's fantastic.
Energy independence is so important. And we appreciate that you know where we are and who we are.
Thank you.
Since our last program, Derek, of course, we had Super Tuesday. And as we went into the weekend before, you remember South Carolina and Biden is basically dead on his feet. There's no way he's going to be the nominee. And then the party went in with heavy hands and forced out Klobuchar, forced out Buttigieg, and had them both to endorse Joe Biden over that weekend before Super Tuesday. Bernie Sanders never knew what hit him. And so Super Tuesday worked out to be a strong push indicating that the party had coalesced behind Joe Biden, afraid of Bernie Sanders as the candidate. And so here's this guy that sometimes doesn't even know where he is when he's giving a speech. And this is way beyond just forgetfulness, but that's going to be their candidate now. It's obvious. And like you mentioned before the show, his son is not even paying child support. He's missed two court dates. This is unimaginable that this visibility could be coming to Joe Biden. And things that obviously need attention are not being paid attention to by the press. Meanwhile, they keep trying to find Trump on anything.
Well, I was proud to see, Steve, one thing about the Democrats, that they're rejecting the guy that tried to buy the election.
Yeah, that was the big piece, rejecting Bloomberg when he's trying to buy the election. He spent almost $600 million. That's six-tenths of $1 billion to get one convention, and that's America Samoa. So not quite a very good return on his investment. Now, there was a tremendous clip by Dick Morris, and you know we refer to him quite a bit.
Sure.
But he's talking about how that selection of Biden over Sanders, he referred to that as the Democrats eating their young. Many of the young people in college, the young people who are so energized, they want Bernie Sanders. He represents to them the change they're looking for. And so the party didn't do him any favors. They didn't say, look, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. It was just a slap in the face to all the young people. So I would encourage you to go and look at Dick Morris's comment on the Democrats eating their young.
Would it be safe to say that, to Bernie's credit, he's honest about being a socialist? Biden is for the same things that Bernie's for. He's just not going to come out and say it because he knows he can't win with those values?
That's exactly correct. When you dig down into the Democrat Party of today, they're trying to implement socialism at all levels. That's going to be the heart of this race. Are you for the free market? Do you want choices in life, or do you want the government to tell you what you're going to consume, what you're going to eat, what jobs you're going to have? Do you want the hope and the opportunity of building your own business or choosing your own way in life? Or do you want government to tell you everything you're going to do? That's the choices in this election. Never do you have more opportunities, more jobs, more prosperity. You always have less because they can't give you more. All they can do is take away from people who are getting less. And so we average people to a lower standard of living, not to a higher standard of living. Well, Derek, I want to play a couple of clips from the convention speech this week, and then we're going to transition into the segment with Jane Powdrell. Just, again, a lot of exciting things left on the show for today.
Jim Townsend represents District 54 down in southern New Mexico. Here are some of his comments from the convention.
These men and women that are serving, there's not a group that I would rather go to political battle with than the representatives that are serving. And I tell you why, this state deserves more respect than it's ever got. And it's because of the disrespect that we've seen time and time again by the majority in the House of Representatives. And if you care about your children, you care about your future, get behind them. They need your help, and you'll be in the state.
And here is a clip from our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico at the convention, Steve Pierce.
You know, what I like about New Mexico is that you can see the rainstorms coming from off across in the distance, and then you feel a raindrop in your eye. And too often, I think that we feel like we're just one raindrop, and we are. But when we all join together, you hear that one raindrop, and then two, and now then you hear three and four and five, and pretty soon you got that hill. My friends, we are living right now. There is a storm coming that is going to turn this state red, and the storm is each one of you, your individual raindrops hitting in your community. Understand that this is going to be fresh, going to be newer land, that we're going to get rid of the corruption in the state, and we're going to turn it red, not because we like it, but because we love the truth, we love integrity, we love what's right, and we're going to let Donald Trump all the way to the government. God bless you all. Thank you very much.
In just a moment, we'll be talking with our representative from District 44. That's the area around Corrales and Rio Rancho. Jane Powdrell is coming up on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We're talking with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pearson. Steve, we've got a guest in the studio with us today.
We do. Jane Powdrell is a longtime friend even before she got into politics. But I tell you, when I saw the courage that this black lady had to run as a Republican for the House of Representatives, I said, that's the kind of friends I want around me, the kind of people I want on my team, just who are their own people. They don't let someone else tell them what to think and what to believe. So, Jane, welcome to the program today. Tell us what district you represent and tell us a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here. I'm Jane Powdrell Colbert. I represent District 44. And that's Rio Rancho Corrales and the town of Bernalillo. I'm native New Mexican. I was born and raised in downtown Albuquerque, South Broadway area. And historically, people tend to think that that was the African-American neighborhood. But it was a multicultural neighborhood. And so me and my four brothers were raised in a multicultural household.
Is your family the one that makes that wonderful barbecue?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Been in business 55 years now. My mom was housemaid, and my dad did hard care and construction work. They were conservative, and they taught us to be accountable and responsible and not to expect anyone to give you anything. If you wanted it, you had to get out and work for it. And as I grew and being involved in the community, I found myself believing that it was more Republican than Democrat. My mom and a group of women sent us kids out back in the 50s to get signatures so that we could have indoor plumbing and have an infrastructure and get our roads paved. And so that's kind of where I come from.
Your first political experience was as a kid knocking doors to get petitions signed to get plumbing.
Yeah.
I love that story.
So we, you know, we grew up in that environment, and we were never taught that we were different. You know, you'd hear things on the radio and you'd read Ebony and Jet magazine and see things happening around the country. But we were protected. We were protected in our community by everybody. It didn't matter whether you were Anglo. It didn't matter whether you were black, Spanish, Asian. Everybody looked after us kids. And so growing up in that environment, I think you have a different view on life. And everybody in the neighborhood, everybody's parents, worked in hard caring construction, janitors, or maids. And for those who worked in Mountain Bell, for example, was a big deal then. They would dress up to go to work, but when they got to work, they put on the same uniform that my mom wore when she went to her job as a maid, that white uniform and those white shoes.
I'll be darned. That is magnificent. Now, what pulled you into politics?
I had been working on campaigns forever. You know, and even back then, different folks would come into our community and we'd listen to the campaign speech. But I just kind of happened into politics. It wasn't a goal or anything. I had no dramatic event to happen. I just had all these experiences and I thought, well, maybe I could do this. And so I got involved with the Republican Party. I registered Republican a long time ago. It just kind of happened. I had no burning desire. I had no big incident that caused me to run for the legislature.
Okay, so you're coming along, and again, my story is very similar. I did not have this epiphany. I didn't set out to go to Congress as one of my goals in life. It just kind of feels like God picked me up and pitched me up there. So when you first decided to run as a black Republican for the state legislature, did you get support from the party, or did you have people saying, wait, this and something's not right here? What? So tell me a little bit about that.
I did get support from Les Houston. And Les and I had been friends many, many, many years.
Now, he was a Democrat, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And I knew Les pretty well. So that's fascinating that a Democrat backs you up to run as a Republican for the legislature. And that's what I know about Les Houston, is that he was about the person, not about the party. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. And so he and I sat down and had a conversation. And Robin Times, as you know.
Just great friend.
And he and I sat down and talked about it, and he wanted to know how hard I was willing to work for it. And I told him, I said, you know how I work. He says, yeah, I know that. He says, but how hard are you willing to work for this?
Nice.
And so I told him, I says, well, I said, I'll give it all I got. I says, and at the end of the day, either I win or I'll lose. I say, but I promise you I will give it all I got. And that's what I did. And here I am 18 years later. I got a tremendous amount of support and some corrections from Les. We had the kind of relationship, if I went in the wrong direction, in his opinion, he had no bones about pulling me back in and us talking about it. But he never said you have to do this or that.
Now you won your election and you're serving in the legislature. Tell me about your first experiences in the legislature. I can remember mine, 1997, when I was first elected. I was in awe when I walked in that House of Representatives floor and sat down and just felt like that I was never going to be able to live up to the requirements and the responsibility of being a state legislator. So tell me a little bit about your first experience.
My first day in on opening day, I was in awe and I was scared. And I look back on that and still, you know, here it is 18 years later, and when I was driving up to Santa Fe this year, I got butterflies. And I'm still in awe because, you know, and I'm honored that my constituents continue to have the faith in me and continue to re-elect me to represent them and their concerns. My very first day, I looked around and felt how honored I was for these folks to think that I'm great enough or I'm good enough or that I'm smart enough to come here and represent them, because I felt like they had entrusted me with a lot and I had to live up to it.
Magnificent. That's what a representative government is all about. You know, people typically say we're a democracy, but we're not. We're a republic. The difference is that we elect in a republic. We elect people who will go and represent our interest. In a democracy, every issue has to be brought before all of the people. So thanks for being a part of that tradition and of that magnificent element of America's government. Now, tell me the issues that you found to be important and the ones that you find to be most challenging.
Right now, even back then, my big issue has always been roads and infrastructure. And I guess that goes back to what my mom and the neighbors sent us out to do, and that how important that plays in our daily lives that probably very few folks really think about until it's a big pothole or until it's blocked off with a construction project. But up until that point, people don't pay much attention to the impact that roads have on our quality of life. And I think we can speak to that as to what's going on down in your area, Southeast New Mexico, how important the quality of that highway is to the quality of life that we all enjoy throughout the state of New Mexico.
Yes, you're 100% correct that infrastructure is not one of the sexy elements of politics, but it's one of the ones that if it doesn't work right, people get angriest about immediately.
Steve Pierce will continue the interview with Representative from District 44, Jane Poudrell, in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We return to our interview with Steve Pierce and Jane Poudrell.
What issues in this session did you find remarkable, and which side of the issue were you on?
Well, one of the things this session, of course, you know, we talked about that whole issue around marijuana, and I'm totally against legalizing it. So that was something I was real concerned about. You know, the Poudrell's family is a big family, and I've got little nieces and nephews that are growing up. And I'm always concerned about the long-term impact that that drug has on folks. So that was a big issue. I carried legislation, as I've always done, on angel investors. And we did some administrative work moving them from economic development to tax and rev in order to have a better handle and processing on the tax credit. But the other area that I was kind of intrigued about this session is we know the PRC has had some issues, but there was a piece of legislation that got through and got out of the House and on the governor being allowed to pick certain positions in that. And I've got some issues with too much government control.
I was in the state legislature when we approved the PRC, and I opposed it from day one. It was too large a area of responsibility that we gave to the Public Regulatory Commission, the PRC. And we had testimony it would be the most powerful regulatory body in the entire world here in New Mexico. And the idea that now in this session, we gave the governor the right to choose, I think it's the chief of staff, and they can't get rid of him. The governor is going to end up controlling this
exactly.
Because your elected commissioners depend a lot on the staff. So I see this was a power grab from the governor and was totally opposed to the initial PRC, but now opposed to this move here.
I'm very opposed to it and have some concerns about it because I just think too much government is too much government. It's not good for anyone. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We do not need government regulating our in and every move.
Good for you. I appreciate you in that fight. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners?
We didn't talk much about education. And, you know, the state of New Mexico puts a tremendous amount of money into education with little return. And I honestly believe that money is not going to address the problem that we have and the scores and how low we are. We're 50th, 49th, and 50th always. And I'm just hoping that parents will turn around and become more involved in having their children ready to learn. Because you can't send a child to school for the teachers to teach him or her everything. You have to allow educators to teach what they were hired to teach, and that it is a parent's responsibility to have that child ready to learn. And I have a big concern about that.
Well, I share your concern on that also. Teachers tell me that the greatest thing they face in teaching is discipline. They say they spend 60 to 70% of their day in discipline. How can you compete with the Chinese when we're just spending most of our day saying, sit down and listen? It's one reason that we're failing so badly in education. I don't think it's our teachers' fault. I think it's the unions and the management of our schools. But again, kudos to you for focusing on all of the key issues from infrastructure to blocking this recreational marijuana use, to fixing the PRC and education. Those are the things that make up the core of our government policies that you're focusing on, and kudos to you for that.
You know, the other sides always tell our African-American communities about how the Republican Party does not want you in the party. Out of all these years, I have yet to hear the Republican Party to say we do not want African Americans to be a part of the Republican Party.
And one of the things, Jane, that I'm doing is I want the black population to understand that we welcome them, we value them. Of course, you know, Jewel did the pledge. That was on purpose. And then Langston, he just showed up out of nowhere. The voiceover that was announcing from off the stage, mm-hmm. Langston is just brand new to working with the Trump campaign, but he's a leader. And so we're saying, okay, we're going to welcome everybody into the party, but we're also going to use people in very visible positions. So our Native Americans, very visible. Three statewide candidates running, and they're all very good candidates. Then our Hispanic population, again, we've got leadership up and down the party from Hispanic voters. We're excited about it and trying to do things that will be more inviting to populations that in the past have been reticent to join because they've been told that we don't want them and we don't like them. We just show, not tell them, so here we are.
Actions speak louder than words. And so, and I had a long talk with Stephanie yesterday in regards to her participation and everything. And so, you know, people don't realize that African Americans have deep-rooted history here in the state of New Mexico. And I'm talking about from the Buffalo Soldiers and the Spaniards and everything prior to. It seems to me that we become prominent when it's election times. And I'm talking to different folks in regards to we are around all the time, not
yep.
just election time.
Yep.
Whether it's local or statewide, or matter of fact, national election, and all the problems that's in our community. You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, and they were talking about Detroit's problems and Philadelphia's problem in the African-American communities. Listen, we have problems in low-income communities around this country, even here in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Stephanie, again, she just showed up at the party and began to work. And finally, we had an opening. And I said, hey, would you fill that opening for us? We've got to have somebody that cares about the party, somebody that's this. And she did. We also got both Jewel and her on the National Right to Life Board because I think the black community has not been represented very well there, either by choice or maybe just not
just
knowing how to get
just
involved.
Ignore.
And so they're now on that board. And it's I think it's an important step. So we're doing quite a bit of thing that makes me feel like the Republican Party is looking more like New Mexico every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is important, you know, and that I'm not the only person that can run for a seat and get elected. And I never thought my running was about my being an African-American female. I think people knew I was African-American female just by virtue of Padre's barbecue.
They did that. That's not a bad place to get your reputation from. But, Jane,
not.
This has been exciting. We're going to do this again.
Okay.
Not everybody has the casual conversational knowledge and capability that you do. It's been a fascinating show. I just consider you a longtime friend, and let me know any way we can help. We've been talking today to Representative Jane Padrell from the Rio Rancho area, District 44 in the House of Representatives in Santa Fe. Jane, longtime friend, thank you very much for being on the program today, and thanks for your principled stand on issues as you serve and represent the people who elect you.
Steve, thank you for having me as your guest today.
As you can tell from that interview, the Republican Party does not care about what your last name is or the pigmentation of your skin. It's about conservative values. If you liked what you were hearing in the interview with Jane Padrell and want to get more involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can go to www.gopnm.org. The party also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. You can also just pick up the phone and call the party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. Steve Pierce and I will look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.